Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, text number 20. Okay, we'll chant this sloka together. Sri Karna Bhajana Uvacha.
Sri Karna
Bhajana Uvacha. Sri Taparamcha Kalir Teshu Keshava Nana Vana Vidakaro
Nana Vana
Vidakaro Nana Vidine Jate Sri Karna Uba Sri Karabhajana Uvacha
Sri
Tam Chaita Dvaparamcha
Sri Tam
Chaita Dvaparamcha Keshava Nana Vana Vidakaro Nanaiva Vidine Chate Sri Karabhajana Uvacha Sri Tam Chaita Dvaparamcha Kalirityeshu Keshava Nana Vana Vidakaro Nanaiva Vidine Jate Sri Karabhajana Uvacha.
Sri
Karabhajana
said.
Kritam Satya. Treta.
Treta.
Dvaparam.
Dvapara.
Cha.
And.
Kali.
Kali.
Uti. Thus named.
Eshu.
In these ages. Keshava, the Supreme Lord Keshava, Nana, various, Varna, having complexions, Abida, names, Akara, and forms, Nana, various, Eva, similarly, Vidina, by processes, Ujite, is worshipped. Translation. Sri Karabajna replied, in each of the four yugas or ages, Preta, Treta, Krita, Treta, Dwapa, and Kali, Lord Keshava appears with various complexions, names, and forms, and is thus worshipped by various processes. Text 21. Krite Shiklas Chaturbahu Jatilo Vakmara Krishna Chino Pavitraksham Vidraitanda Kamandala. In such a yuga, the Lord is white and forearmed, has matted locks, and wears a garment of tree bark. He carries a black deerskin, a sacred thread, prayer beads, and the rod and water pot of a brahmachari. Text 22. Manushastu kada shanka nirgara nchida sama nijanti tapasa devam chamena cha damena cha. People in such a yuga are peaceful, non-envious, friendly to every creature, and steady in all situations. They worship the Supreme Personality by austere meditation and by internal and external sense control. Therefore, in such a yuga, the Supreme Lord incarnates as a four-armed brahmachari described in the following, in the previous verse, and personally introduces the process of meditation. Text number 22. Hamsasipana Vaikuntho Dhamma Yogeshwara Mala Ishvara Purusha Vyakta Paramatme Pigiyate. Translation. In such a yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Hamsa, Siparna, Vaikuntha, Dhamma, Yogeshwara, Amala, Ishvara, Purusha, Avyakta, and Paramatma. Purport by the disciple of Srila Prabhupada. The sage Karabajana Muni is replying to Videharaj Nimi's questions about the varieties of the Lord's incarnations. In Satya Yuga, the Lord's color is white, and he wears tree bark and a black deerskin as an ideal meditated brahmachari. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has explained the Lord's various names in Satya Yuga as follows. Those who are self-realized know the supreme reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Paramatma. Those souls who are situated in the religious system of Varnashram glorify him as the Hamsa, who is transcendental to all the Varnas and Ashrams. Persons absorbed in gross matter consider him to be Suparna, the beautifully winged basis of the conception of cause and effect, who flies within the subtle sky of the soul, as described in Chandogya Upanishad. Persons accustomed to wandering within this universe of subtle and gross matter, created by the Lord's illusory potency, chant his name Vaikuntha. Persons deprived of the power of transcendental meditation, dharana, who are thus subject to falling from the path of religion, glorify him as dharma or religion personified. Those who are forced to submit to the illusory modes of material nature and whose minds are uncontrolled and disturbed, glorify him as the most perfectly self-controlled Yogeshwara. Persons tainted by a mixture of the modes of passion and ignorance call him Amala, or the uncontaminated. Persons devoid of potency call him Ishvara, and those who consider themselves to be under his shelter chant his glory by the name Uttama Purusha. Those who know that this material manifestation is only temporary call him Avyakta. In this way, in Satya Yuga, Lord Vasudeva appears in various four-armed transcendental forms, and the jiva souls worship him, each by their own particular process of devotional service. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has many different names. Yuga, in the Satya Yuga, he has all these different names according to the different individuals. Of course, it's a little hard to understand, because in the Satya Yuga, as far as I understood, everyone is in the mode of goodness. But it says those who are forced to submit to the illusory mode of material nature, and whose minds are uncontrolled and disturbed, glorify him as the most perfectly self-controlled yogeshva. Or the person tainted by a mixture of the modes of passion, ignorance, cruelty, amala, or the uncontaminated. So it seems that even in the Satya Yuga, people are under the modes of material nature, which is contrary to what I had understood. But I won't get into that anymore. I'll just go off in a totally different direction. Because that's hard to understand. What I wanted to say was that Krishna appears in many different forms. And these forms are all wonderful and amazing. And they're all very beautiful. And so, out of all these forms, there is only one, really, that is supreme, and that is Krishna's original form. And that form is the most beautiful form. Even though the other forms are very beautiful. If you read the description of Vamanadev. Vamanadev is described, he was very beautiful. He was just a dwarf, he was very young. All the different forms of the Lord, if you look at the description of even Prithu Maharaj, who wasn't actually a, you know, direct incarnation of the Lord, it's described how his form was extremely beautiful, his eyes were like stars twinkling in a beautiful clear blue sky. All the forms are completely wonderful. And actually, even Matsya is described in the Garga Samhita. Even the daughters of Varuna, they were so attracted to Matsya that they wanted to have a conjugal relationship with him, which of course he couldn't reciprocate like that. But they did get an opportunity later on, which we can talk about later. That all these forms of the Lord are incredibly beautiful. But if you see their activities, they're not as charming, of course, as Lord Krishna's activities. All these different incarnations, for instance, Parashuram, he was very violent. He killed the 21 generations of the descendants of What was his name? Kartavirya Arjuna, that's right. He killed him 21 times over. So he was very ferocious. He even killed his own mother, on the order of his father, that is. Because his father was very kind, that he offered him a benediction, and he asked for his mother to be revived. But he's a very fierce person. And then we have Lord Nrisimhadev, who's also very fearsome. And after he had killed Hiranyakashipu, all the demigods, even Lakshmi, they were afraid to go before Nrisimhadev because he was so frightening. Only Prahlad could go before Nrisimhadev. Then we have Lord Ram. Of course, Lord Ram, he was very, very beautiful, and all the residents of Ayodhya loved him so much, especially the women. They wanted to have a conjugal relationship with him, but they couldn't do it at that particular time. But if we compare all these different forms of the Lord, we will see that Krishna's pastimes and activities exceed everybody else's. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna appears in different ages, as Gagamuni tells Nanda Maharaj. When he's calculating his birth chart, he says, this child has appeared in many different ages, in different colors, and he is a very special personality. And so we are very fortunate that we get the opportunity to be born in the age where Krishna is worshipped by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is even a better incarnation because he is giving Krishna, because Krishna killed so many demons. Of course, he gave them liberation, or in the case of Putana, he actually awarded her with a motherhood in Goloka Vrindavan. But Krishna also killed so many demons that came to kill him. But Lord Chaitanya, he is more merciful because he is giving love of Krishna. It is said that Krishna left a treasure house of wonderful pastimes, but he did not distribute it very freely. But Lord Chaitanya, he plundered and broke open that treasure chest of love of Godhead, and he distributed freely without discrimination. So, until Lord Chaitanya, it was much harder to actually get love of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he very kindly, he gave everybody an opportunity, even the most degraded, like Jagaya Madai. Jagaya Madai, they were very degraded, but when Lord Chaitanya went to see them, I think I said this in my last class actually, he said that once they had become purified and they had apologized for their offenses, and they didn't, especially Madai, he was the one that hit Lord Nityananda, he was so apologetic and felt so bad. But Lord Chaitanya said, anybody who feeds these two is like giving an offering of butter to all the residents of the heavenly planet. So it was some very amazing statement how feeding Jagaya Madai was such a pious activity, even though they had been such big offenders. So Lord Chaitanya, he has given us the opportunity to actually develop love of God very, very easily. And therefore, the Kali Yuga is considered to be the best of ages. So we hear that verse, Kaliya Doshe Nide Rajan Asyekan Mahangunam Kirtanade Krishnasya Muktasam Sangha Parambhajet. That even though the Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, still there is one good quality about this age. That just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can easily achieve perfection. So this is the benediction that Lord Chaitanya has given. Lord Chaitanya, of course, he pretended to be a devotee. We know that he was pretending to be a devotee, but of course he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yesterday we were hearing about how Krishna's senses, they're not material. But at the same time, in the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, he acted as if his senses were material in some ways. Because when he was given all the prasadam that Govinda, his servant, was storing, many devotees would offer prasadam or want to feed Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, no, I'll take it later, just store it in a big room and I'll have it later. And so at a certain point there was a room full of prasadam, and so he ate that prasadam, but he didn't get indigestion. On the other hand, Sikya Mahita's sister, what was her name? Damayanti? No. Madhavi. Madhavi would make sweets which were made of ginger and Ganges mud because to ease his indigestion. So they were worried about his indigestion. So even though Lord Chaitanya had transcendental senses, he could eat a room full of prasadam. Just like when he was fed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had finally caught on to the fact that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It took him a little time. But he caught on, and then he wanted to offer him a beautiful feast. So he took him to his house. He offered him so much prasadam, and, you know, not an ordinary person could eat as much as what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife cooked. And they were expert cooks. But Amoga, Sarvabhauma's son-in-law, he was critical. He said, how can a sannyasi eat so much? He's a fake sannyasi. He's a full sannyasi. He's a materialist. He's eating so much. So, of course, he got cholera. And after a little while, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya chased him out of the house. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to annihilate him. But he ran away. And then, after a little while, he got cholera. And he was on his deathbed. And then Lord Chaitanya went to see him, and he put his hand on his heart, and he said, get up now, Amoga, you're cured. But you know that envy does not sit in the heart of a devotee. So anyway, he started chanting Hare Krishna. He couldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. He was jumping up and down, chanting. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya exhibited all these contrary symptoms. Sometimes he would get indigestion, sometimes he could... he wouldn't get indigestion. People were worried that he might get indigestion. And sometimes he could eat a roomful of food. But can do the inconceivable. And the inconceivable is that he can take the degraded people of the Kali Yuga and turn them into great devotees of the Lord. One time, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, I can't remember the exact quote, but I know I read it. He said, in the Kali Yuga, people are very attracted to sex life. So therefore, Krishna has performed all these wonderful conjugal pastimes so that the people in the Kali Yuga will be able to give up their illicit sex and become devotees. So that is also there in the 10th canto. There's that famous verse, the Kriditam Vajavadibiridam Chavishnum Shridambhata Nishunayad Atavanayad Ya. It says, this is in the chapter of the Rasa Dance, it says that people who hear about Krishna's dealings with the gopis, specifically, and their loving pastimes, gradually they will give up all their lusty desires and they will develop pure love of God. So this is the wonderful benediction that Lord Chaitanya gave, that we could come to know about Krishna's pastimes and activities. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's followers, they are so magnanimous to have written so many wonderful books which describe these activities very fully and profusely, trying to pour down the nectar of Krishna's pastimes and activities. So this is why the six Goswamis are so very important to us, because they give us a chance to hear about Krishna's pastimes. Of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam is described, but because Krishna's pastimes are unlimited, and even Anantashesh, he is constantly chanting the glory of the Lord with his thousands of heads, he never repeats himself. So Krishna's pastimes and activities are all unlimited and wonderful. And all the different incarnations of the Lord, they are completely perfect, they're wonderfully beautiful, etc., etc. But all the devotees, or many devotees who had seen those different incarnations, specifically Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra, he took a vow, Ekapatni Vrat. He'll only have one wife. He never had any other relationships with any other women in a conjugal way, just one wife. But he had so many people that wanted to have a deep conjugal relationship with him. There's many categories, like the women of Ayodhya, the women of Mathila, the sages in the forest of Dandakaranya, and then even Saparnika. Saparnika, she was attracted to Lord Ramachandra in a conjugal way. She wanted to marry, or at least marry Lakshman. Who did she want to marry, Lakshman or Lord Ram? Anyway, her desire was not fulfilled. But she got the chance to be born as Kubja. So Kubja was born in Krishna Leela because Saparnika had desired to have a conjugal relationship with Krishna. And all these sages and women, even the ones that saw the deity of Lord Ram, they wanted to have a conjugal relationship. They got the opportunity to be born as gopis in Vrindavan. This is in the Garga Samhita. And even as I was saying, the daughters of Matsya, they desired a conjugal relationship. So they got a chance to be born in Krishna Leela as gopis. So this is all amazing. So Krishna, he has all these wonderful pastimes, and we can hear about these wonderful pastimes. Prabhupada said, it's offensive to think that you're a gopi. So we're not supposed to think we're gopis, but we can glorify the gopis for their pure desire to love Krishna, to serve Krishna. And we can try to follow in the footsteps. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says clearly, it's offensive to think you're a gopi. So, there's one very nice verse, which is the introduction to the the Dagda Madhava, I think it is. It says, may the pastimes of Krishna nullify all sinful desires and minimize all sinful may they nullify all material desires and destroy all sinful activities. The pastimes of Lord Krishna are very sweet. They're like this substance. What's it called? No. It's something which is a combination of camphor and ghee and I'm trying to remember the name of it. Anyway, they're very sweet, and it's a nectar which even defeats the nectar which is produced on the moon, because they distribute the sweet fragrance of the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. So Krishna's pastimes, they're so beautiful that just by hearing about them, we actually nullify and diminish all our sinful reactions and all our material desires. So this is why Krishna himself is the greatest, ultimate, supreme personality of Godhead. All the other incarnations, they're all wonderful, they're all serving a specific purpose, but the people in the Satya Yuga, even though they were so fortunate to be born in the Satya Yuga, which You know, the Kali Yuga is so degraded and so polluted, and but the Satya Yuga is completely perfect, practically. But even those personalities did not get a chance to actually develop love of Godhead as given by Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya's, thank you very much, Lord Chaitanya's the greatest incarnation, because he is giving this opportunity to love Krishna in the mood of the gopis. And Krishna's holy name, this is also another incarnation that Krishna appears in the Kali Yuga. Kali Kalaya Namarupe Krishna Avatar. That Krishna has appeared in the Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name. So we know that, or at least I know, that chanting Hare Krishna is not so easy, that it takes a long time to develop a taste for chanting. And sometimes, you know, it's like, I remember this example Shiva Ramaraj gave, that in the beginning, it might seem easy, because just like when you're digging into the ground, the top part is the topsoil, and the topsoil is easy to get through. But as you drill down further, you get into the rocks, and it's much harder, and it can be harder to chant as you become more purified. But if one has made one's mind up, then no matter what, that we will chant, just like Haridas Thakur, he said that even they cut out my tongue, I will still chant Hare Krishna. So that somehow or other we have to have that attitude, that even though, you know, Krishna is his name, Krishna is all merciful, Krishna is very sweet, but somehow or other we're not tasting the sweetness. But if we have the determination that no matter what, we will chant one day, hopefully, it'll become very sweet. So we have to be very Krishna. Glorious is that devotee who does not abandon his Lord. And glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his devotee. So we have a chance to become glorious by never giving up the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada or of Lord Chaitanya. So we have a great chance to, in the Kali Yuga, we're so fortunate that we have the opportunity to actually develop love of Krishna, who is the greatest Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I'll finish here. Any comments or realizations? Yes.
Who was the Lord in the white complexion, and he
in the white form?
In the white form, and then he, what was the Yuga Dharma he established?
White form. I thought it was Kapila. Anyone know? Hamsa. Hamsa. I mean. In Satya Yuga, the Lord's color is white, and he wears tree bark and a black disc, and is an ideal meditative brahmacharya. Is that what you wanted to know?
Huh?
Well, he has different names according to the different personalities who worship him. There's a whole list of names here. I don't see Hamsa here. It says, yeah, in the, oh yeah, okay, he is, yeah, these souls are situated in the religious system of Varnashram, glorifying as the Hamsa. You're right. Okay, so, Hamsa means one. And then it has a lot of different other names. Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Just for the record, when Saparnika met Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, she was immediately attracted to Lord Ram. And Ram said, well, thank you very much, but I am married. But I have a younger brother. And he's single, and I'm sure he'll take your hand in marriage. And then when Saparnika got turned away by Lakshman, then she decided to attack Sita, because she was the problem, Sita was the problem. And then, and that's when she discovered that this pair, Lakshman and Ram, were rather more martially adept than she calculated. And she lost her nose and went running back to Ravan. And that started the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Vishal.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Very nice class. You mentioned how the great yuga is. That's a fact. It's the worst age. But I understand that we're in the golden age of Kali Yuga.
Right.
That's for 10,000 years, started 500 years ago. And since we have the holy name, that's a great benediction in this age.
Yeah.
And even Srila Prabhupada said that we can make, even though this is the worst age, we can make it the same as in Satyuga as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd love to see it. Wherever I see it, it looks pretty rough. But I mean, there are a lot of nice people. I mean, I was in London, and some of the nicest people I met were actually Muslims. Especially, there's some young girls I found from Somalia and Eritrea, and what's that other country there? Anyway, they're very nice, and they always get the books. We met two girls. Yeah, they have the headdress on, everything, you know. But they're really nice people, you know. And we met two ladies from the Lebanon, and they were Druze. It's a sect of Islam, I believe. They believe in reincarnation. And they were really anxious to meet the devotees in Beirut. And they got a couple of books. They gave us about $140 for a couple of books. They were very nice. So, you know, there are a lot of nice people, and we're hoping. And yeah, Lord Chaitanya's prediction must come true, which the Hare Krishna movement will spread to every town and village. But we, you know, it's a 10,000 year period, and maybe it won't reach its zenith for a couple of thousand years. Who knows? But, you know, we just have to persevere. Yeah. Yes. Hare Krishna. You have a microphone.
As you mentioned, that by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, and as well as the conjugal pastime, one's heart becomes purified of the lust. Mm-hmm. However, Prabhupada does say, too, that if one becomes agitated
If what?
If one becomes sexually agitated by reading those pastimes,
that's true.
Then he should stop.
Yeah.
Is it, let's say, logical to conclude or speculate that?
Is it what? Or is it right to
could
speculate?
I speculate that the sahajiyas are those who have heard the pastimes but became agitated and did not stop? You get it? What I'm...
Probably. Yeah. That's probably one type of sahaja that they... well, they want to be, they want to enjoy material, physical enjoyment. So, whether they get that desire from reading about the pastimes of Krishna, I don't know, but it's very possible. Yeah, I mean, but Prabhupada did translate the 10th canto, you know, we have the Krishna book, he did that very early on. And, he encouraged his followers to read the books. So, you know, there are much more kind of explicit books about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So, yes, you have to be very careful. Anything else? Any other comments? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.